Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 65, the stanzas 1 through 4. Grace and truth shall mark the way where the Lord his own will lead. If his word they still obey, and his testimonies heed, and what follows, Psalter 65, the four stanzas.
Thank you.
the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Psalm 41. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Psalm 41. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. Blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive, and he shall be blessed upon the earth, and thou wilt not deliver him unto the will of his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Thou wilt make all his bed in his sickness. I said, Lord, be merciful unto me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. Mine enemies speak evil of me. When shall he die and his name perish? And if he come to see me, he speaketh vanity. His heart gathereth iniquity to itself. When he goeth abroad, he telleth it. All that hate me whisper together against me. Against me do they devise my hurt. An evil disease, say they, cleaveth fast unto him, and now that he lieth, he shall rise up no more. Yea, mine old familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. But thou, O Lord, be merciful unto me, and raise me up, that he may requite them. By this I know that thou favorest me, because mine enemy doth not triumph over me. And as for me, thou upholdest me in mine integrity, and settest me before thy face forever. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, from everlasting and to everlasting. Amen and amen. Let us try to ask the Lord for his blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, then in this day by renewal, we have been carried upon the wings of thy mercy, and thou grantest by renewal the opportunity that we may come up to thy house and place ourselves under thy word and eternal testimony. For many on this Lord's day, it was not possible. The reasons are diverse, and for great multitudes, they have no desire and see no need. And now, Lord, we humbly ask thee that thou may grant thy gracious help when we are called by renewal in this evening hour to be the mouthpiece for this people, to come with all our blessings, our needs, our desires, and our sins, but also when thy most holy word may be opened, wilt thou grant many hearers in hers. And Lord, when thou makest such a great difference with us and our children, where there is no difference, then surely it is for a purpose, and that is for the coming of thy kingdom and the glory of thy name. And we humbly ask thee that that purpose may be realized in this evening hour. Oh, it is true, for the one is savior of death unto death, but ah, Lord, may it be for us and our children, by thy free and sovereign grace, by the work of thy Holy Spirit, a savor of life unto life. Ah, the word may still be sown liberally. May it please thee also to grant a rich harvest among young and old. Lord, we humbly ask thee for thy special blessing, thy special presence, and thy special favor in this evening hour. And what greater tokens could thou grant unto us and our dear children hastening to that never-ending eternity when it would be heard that sons and daughters would be born in Zion, but also that the children, that they may be instructed, comforted, and encouraged to receive the strengthening of their most holy faith. Do bless thy word in the church. Help the consistory to that end, who is sufficient unto these things. Bless thy holy word in the midst of the family circles. Do grant thy help to fathers and mothers to that end, and bless thy holy word in our Christian school. Wilt thou help and remember the instructors, remember the students, grant traveling mercies, and may it all be carried upon the wings of prayer, Lord. We commend thy church unto thee over the length and the breadth of the earth, the established churches. Remember all mission work, also our mission field. Remember thy servants and the team. Take the veil off the Jewish nation. Uphold the persecuted church. And help all Bible translators, grant them a profound impression that they are handling the holy word of God. And wilt thou remember all those that may distribute thy word even to the ends of the earth, oftentimes under difficulties and impossibilities. Lord, remember the nations of the earth in these solemn times. Remember also our nation and remember our province. May it please thee, when a new premier may be chosen, that it may be one that has learned to bow his knees. May it please thee to grant a man where thy word has great authority and a large place in his life. May the prayers be multiplied to that end. Lord, continue to supply the daily bread for us and our children. Wilt thou continue to help and remember the farmers when they may harvest their crops? Wilt thou keep from harm and from danger? Then by renewal we commend unto thee all the mourning ones in our midst. And may out of that mourning another mourning be born. And that is a mourning for our sins, that godly sorrow that worketh repentance. Remember all the elderly ones in the evening of their life. Remember all in the care home with those that may care for them and those that may still go in and out. Oh, do remember their never dying souls. And wilt thou remember all the afflicted ones with all the cares and with all the fears. Oh, grant them that special place at thy footstool, where they may come with all the different circumstances and to be given to humbly ask thee if it may please thee to remember and to help and to heal. But oh, above all, that all the callings may be sanctified. We commend unto thee all the handicapped ones in our midst. Remember the family circles. May love abound between husbands and wives, between parents and children. And when it is so different, well, do ye grant repentance while it can yet and while it may yet. And what has been separated, bring it together. Remember those that are struggling with temptations and addictions. We commend unto thee prodigal sons and prodigal daughters. So, Lord, by renewal, then we have many matters to lay before thee and impress upon all our hearts. It is the one thing needful that we are born again, that our never-dying soul may be saved, that we may be washed in the precious blood of thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we can live and then we can die. May the exercises be multiplied concerning the coming of thy kingdom. Ah, grant yet that wrestling and that storming at the throne of grace. Lord, we have to confess by renewal in this evening hour that we have no rights, unworthy of the least of thy blessings, and yet they are blessings which we cannot miss. Oh, wonder-doing God, wilt thou then stretch out thy almighty and merciful hand in the midst of us and our children and impress it more and more upon our hearts, our unworthiness, and that it is mercy and mercy alone. Wilt thou pardon us of all of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 427, the stanzas 1, 2, and 8. Let all exalt Jehovah's goodness, for most compassionate is he. His mercy, excellent in fullness, endureth to eternity, and what follows 427 the stanzas 1, 2, and 8. in this evening hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 52, the question and answers 128 and 129. Question 128. How dost thou conclude thy prayer? Answer. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. That is, all these we ask of thee, because thou, being our King and Almighty, art willing and able to give us all good. And all this we pray for, that thereby not we, but thy holy name may be glorified forever. Question 129. What does the word Amen signify? Answer. Amen signifies it shall truly and certainly be. For my prayer is more assuredly heard of God than I feel in my heart that I desire these things of Him. Lord's Day 52, the question and answers 128 and 129, they speak of the conclusion of the Lord's Prayer with three thoughts. In the first place, a comforting doxology. Secondly, a meaningful closing. And thirdly, a called for examination. The conclusion of the Lord's Prayer. A comforting doxology, a meaningful closing, and a called for examination. Thus first, a comforting doxology. Beloved congregation, in this evening, we may be given to consider the conclusion of the Lord's Prayer, a doxology. What is a doxology, boys and girls? It's a big word for you. That means an expression of praise and thanksgiving to the living God. And then in the doxology of the Lord's Prayer, and not only an expression of praise and joy, but also a pleading upon whom the Lord is, with an assurance that the Lord is a God-giving, a God-hearing, and a God, and that He answers the prayers of His people, and also even of the unconverted. We have many doxologies in the Scripture. Already in Exodus 15, verse 11, when the Lord has led the children of Israel through the Red Sea, then Moses was given to exclaim, "Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like unto thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wondrous things?" We have read together out of Psalm 41, and it is believed that originally that the book of the Psalms, as we have it in the Bible, that it originally consisted of five books, and that each book is given to end with a doxology. The first book, Psalms 1 through 41, and we have read it together. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, from everlasting and to everlasting. Amen and amen. The second book, Psalm 42 through 72. And then at the end of Psalm 72, by renewal, a rich doxology, which is given to end with amen twice. The third book, Psalm 73 through 89. And then by renewal, a doxology with a double amen. The fourth book, Psalm 91 through 106. And then at the end of that book, there is one amen, followed by praise ye the Lord. And then the fifth book. And then we do not read an amen at the end of Psalm 150. But each time by renewal in the Psalms 145 through 150, the psalmist is given to end, praise ye the Lord. Also in the New Testament, beside the doxology of the Lord's Prayer, then we find many precious doxologies, sometime at the end of a book, but also other times if we think of the epistle to the Ephesians, and then in the middle of that epistle, in chapter 3, the verses 20 and 21, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly above all that we ask or think, by the power that worketh in us, unto him be the glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. In Jude 25, to mention one more, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Concerning the doxology of the Lord's Prayer, then we find it in Matthew 6. In the modern versions, sometime it is omitted. Some of them have not dared. But then there shall be a footnote that tells us that the doxology is not found in the manuscripts. Then we see the important congregation that we hold fast to the King James Version because it concerns two different sets of manuscripts. And what a precious doxology, and what a comfort for the Church of God. How dost thou conclude thy prayer? For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. That is, all these we ask of thee, because thou, being our King and Almighty, are willing and able to give us all good. Then this doxology also has a connecting word. You remember, boys and girls, that the fifth and the sixth petition, that they have begun with end. But now this petition also a conjoining word, but it begins with four. That is given to explain a reason. And now that word for, that has a connection, as we hope to hear, to all the petitions, and in a special way to the sixth petition, because in the sixth petition we have heard of that holy warfare, of that triple-headed enemy, that bitter strife. But now, in the closing of the Lord's Prayer, For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Thus we read of three matters in this doxology. And then in the first place, for thine is the kingdom, and a kingdom has a king, and the instructor may give unto say, by grace, by the exercise of faith, not only a king, and not only the king, but he may express our king. And now concerning the king of the kingdom, then in the first place, then the king, the Lord Jesus Christ, then he is a sovereign king. In the second place, he has a great dominion. It extends from the rivers to the ends of the world. Then in the third place, it is expressed, for thine is the kingdom. And that includes the past, the present, and also the future. Because I read in Hebrews 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Then in the next place, then he is an almighty king. And the instructors, they have expressed that he is able to give us all good. Everything in his, is in his hand. The silver and the gold, the cattle upon the 10,000 mountains, all the kingdoms of the earth, they are under his control. But not only willing, but also able, can be here in the time when there is need, when there are wants, then sometime it can be, oh, ask a parent with a sick and with an ailing child, what a willingness they would do anything for the welfare of their child, but they are not able. And also in this world, there are those that are able, but they think so much of themselves that they are not willing. But the instructors have expressed, oh, a rich king, a willing king, as the greater Joseph with those storehouses, ah, for a people with empty sacks, then they have been filled. For thine is the kingdom that is, all these we ask of thee, because thou being our king. And that is now the question, congregation. Who is our king? Who do we love? Who do we obey? Who do we delight to serve? Whose honor are we exercised with? Because when we love someone, then our heart goes out after such a one. And now concerning the subjects, they become subjects by that new birth, wrought upon by the work of the Holy Spirit. And they become willing subjects. They become beggars at the throne of grace. They may be enrolled under the banner of King Jesus to fight his battles. Oh, that is a people that do not only choose him for king and that need him as prophet, but that learn that they need him as priest, that they may be pardoned from all their sins through the sacrifice of the Good Shepherd, our king. By grace, by choice, by desire, by our walk, by our obedience. How is it now with us, congregation, boys and girls, and young people? Who is now our king? Have we now made that good choice? Let me ask you in secret, with a holy jealousy, of the subjects of that king, that we may set our face Zionwards. Oh, then we are given to weep, because we have offended that king so grievously, and our sins are so great. But the subjects, oh, young and old, then I may tell you, there is no better king to serve, no better service. There's such a sweet and a good service. Ah, that people are ruined for the world. And therefore may you be aroused to a holy jealousy. We may also see Psalm 23 as a song of praise, that David's desire is to arouse the unconverted to a holy jealousy. Ah, may you be given faithfully to use the means to search the word of the king and to pray to the king. The Lord has promised that his word shall not return void unto them, and those that may be given to seek him, they shall find him. And now the Lord has a people that experiences that they cannot seek as they are commanded, and they ought to seek. They have much to confess, but young and old, when we seek something that we desire with vehement desire, then we know it shall be experienced. And for those true seekers, for those true beggars, then they shall never be put to shame, because the Lord shall never forsake the work of his own hands. When we read first, "For thine is the kingdom," then it has a special connection to the second petition, "Thy kingdom come." And then we may also add the fifth petition, because those true subjects, they need the forgiveness of all their sins, also concerning their unthankfulness. For thine is the kingdom. And further, and the power, that a special connection with the sixth petition concerning those mortal enemies, but also connection concerning the third, because it is by the almighty power of the king, when the church may be given to express and experience thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven, when we read, and the power, also a special connection to the fourth petition, concerning our daily bread, and the power. Christ has declared in Matthew 28, verse 18, "All power is given unto me in heaven and upon earth." And there is a word power in the Greek language that is dynamis. And that is where our word dynamite comes from. And boys and girls, I think you know what dynamite is. That blows rocks apart. That isn't an expression in a certain way. Oh, the power of the Lord. Then the Lord has said unto Abram in Genesis 18, verse 14, that there is nothing too hard for the Lord. And for a Mary, when the angel Gabriel has visited her with the announcement of the birth, that she would be the mother of the Son of God, then the angel has declared, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." All for the church of God, in perplexities, impossibilities. Maybe souls in this evening, outwardly, inwardly, that there are impossibilities. You cannot figure a way out. But now we read in the doxology an expression of faith, "For thine is the power," for the Lord, Nothing is too hard. Nothing is too wonderful. All we read of the prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah 32, verses 17 through 19, after he has purchased the land of his cousin outside of Jerusalem, when the enemy was round about, then he was given to express that the Lord was the creator of the heavens and of the earth, and that there is nothing too wonderful for thee. Then he was given to speak of the great and the mighty God. Then further, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. And that connects to the first petition. Hallowed be thy name. Thus not to stay with the gifts, but to be given to focus on the giver, and with a vehement desire, what a blessed and what a precious place it is for the church of God to be exercised with that desire, the glory of the Lord, with an eye upon him for his name's sake. Our second thought, a meaningful closing. What does the word Amen signify? Amen signifies, what do you think it means, boys and girls? Amen. Then you shall say, well, that is the end of our prayer, the end of the sermon. But that word has a very deep and a very rich meaning. Martin Luther has stated that the Lord's Prayer, what a martyr it has become, that it can be recited so thoughtlessly. But also concerning that word, Amen. What a blessing and what a privilege. And let us say, what a wonder it is when we are given to say Amen. And the Lord may grant a deep and profound impression of the rich meaning of that simple word. It is a word, a Hebrew word. In the Bibles, it has not been translated. And it is a word that is used in all languages. What doth the word Amen signifies? Signify. Amen signifies, it shall truly and certainly be. Thus it is a word expressed by true saving faith. We read in 1 John 5, the verses 14 and 15, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Amen signifies, it shall truly and certainly be, for my prayer is more assuredly heard of God than I feel in my heart that I desire these things of him. That is an expression by the immediate working of the Holy Spirit, by true saving faith. And that implies a waiting upon an answer to our prayers. John Bunyan has written in a certain place of seven special sins that he deeply felt he was very guilty of. And one of those seven sins was that he did not wait as he ought upon an answer to his prayers. Because boys and girls, if you ask your father and mother for something and immediately you turn around and do not wait that they may give what you desire or at least give an answer concerning your request, that would be very bad and very wrong. Also concerning the doxology, then what a guilt. The patient long suffering of the Lord. Also concerning our prayers and the prayers of the church. What a privilege and what a blessing it is when the Lord grants the spirit of prayer and of supplication, when he binds the burden upon the heart, grants the words, grants the freedom, and grants the perseverance, grants faith to believe what we have heard, that he is able and willing, and that in the context of the first three petitions, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Are there souls in my midst that of unanswered prayers? That is so. And we would visit and ask, go from bench to bench. Then you could tell of that request. Then you shall be able to tell of exercises, special exercises, special freedom, times that you have been given to believe that the Lord indeed hears prayer, and faith to believe that it, at his time, in his way, that the prayer shall be answered. Then it is necessary to also make a distinction. It can be because of the greatness of our desire and under special circumstances, much emotion, that we can take that for given to believe that the Lord shall answer. It all lies so close together, but if it is only because of our emotion, a special happening, then sooner or later, our prayer shall ebb away. But now when it pleases the Lord by his Spirit to bind the matter upon the heart, and of course the main matter must be concerning the saving of our soul when the Lord works. What a petitions and what a request are sent up to the Lord that he may remember us with the favor that he bears unto his people and that we may behold that inheritance to receive those special tokens of his favor, that we may hear the Lord's voice, that we may experience his loving kindness, and that we may be pardoned of all of our sins through the meritorial work of his dear Son. But it can also be concerning temporal matters, concerning our fellow travelers to eternity, and that the Lord binds the matter upon the heart. And then there shall be those times, oh, then we hear in this Lord's day that it is implied that the instructor is given to tell us that he is not only prayed, but in the exercise of faith, awaiting upon the Lord, because we read signifies, it shall truly and certainly be, for my prayer is more assuredly heard of God than I feel in my heart. Oh, it is true, there are times we read thereof in Psalm 65, verse 24, before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. But many a times the Lord grants unto his child a time of waiting, that the Lord may find his child oftentimes at his footstool as beggars begging for the thing required. And then there are times that such a one, oh, think of the Hannah of old, where she was pestered by a Peninnah, where she was so barren, where she had a desire for a child, and then she has come up to the feast of the Lord. Oh, she has went to the tabernacle, and there she has poured out her heart before the Lord. It was accompanied with a vow. Oh, it was a request for the Lord's honor, that if the Lord would grant a baby boy, that it would be one for the Lord. And then she was given to pour out her heart. And then after the prophet has spoken, then we read that she went home, that she was refreshed, given to believe that at the Lord's time, that the Lord would give her request. Oh, there are times that the Lord comes over with his love, that the Lord descends with that peace that passeth all understanding. Other times that the Lord speaks a word to confirm that he shall answer at his time. Other times that the Lord grants deeper instruction, and it shall be in the way that the child shall be given to experience that it is never because of their prayers they shall be given to experience that they are unworthy. Ah, the Spirit shall grant to such a one that they shall be exercised with a doxology, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. And the Lord is so free. Thomas Brooks has said concerning the time for true prayer, a delay is not a denial. We have other examples in God's word. If we think of David with the eminent desire to build a house for the Lord, and then Nathan has come, and the Lord has declared that the desire was good, but it was not the Lord's will, because he was a man of war, and that his son would build the Lord a house. Other examples, it can be that the Lord does not grant the exact request, but that the Lord grants such a precious answer. In 2 Corinthians 12, then Paul has prayed thrice. He had a thorn in his flesh, and that was such a sharp thorn. And he has asked the Lord thrice if it may be renewed. And then the Lord has spoken, has given a precious answer, different than Paul desired. But what a rich answer it was. My grace is sufficient for thee. Moses has such a deep desire that he may enter the promised land. And then the Lord has taken him home that he may enter that heavenly Canaan. We read that there are also reasons when the Lord does not answer. Psalm 66, verse 18, the psalmist has said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear my prayer. And in James 4, verse 3, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Amen signifies it shall truly and certainly be, for my prayer is more assuredly heard of God than I feel in my heart that I desire these things of him than the instructors are speaking of prayer. And when we are honest, are our prayers worthy of the name of prayer? Then also concerning our prayers, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. But there are times that the church shall know, not forget. We think of Jacob when he has returned to the promised land, meeting his brother Esau with 400 men. He has prepared many a present, but then we read that he remained alone with the Lord, and that a man has wrestled with Jacob. That was a time that Jacob has never forgotten. What a privilege, what a blessing that God's word exhorts us to pray, to come at his footstool, not as a Pharisee, but as a beggar, and to come with all our blessings, our needs, our desires, and our sins. Then it is well pleasing to the Lord when the true child comes not a trembling as an Esther, it is true, when the Lord grants an impression of the greatness, glory, and majesty of the Lord, and of our unworthiness, there shall be that trembling. But the Lord is well pleased when the true child, by true saving faith, may come oftentimes, continually, perseveringly, exercised with his glory and with his kingdom, and that the child is given to ask great things of a great God. And now the most important request, that is our never dying souls, let us first sing. Psalter 17, the stanzas 1, 4, and 5. O Lord Most High, with all my heart, thy wondrous works I will proclaim. I will be glad and give thee thanks, and sing the praises of thy name, and what follows, Psalter 17, the stanzas 1, 4, and 5. The conclusion of the Lord's Prayer, a comforting doxology, a meaningful closing, and now thirdly, a called for examination. Young and old, how have we come up? In this evening hour, have you given it much thought, that by renewal we have come to the end of the explanation of the Heidelberg Catechism, an explanation with many shortcomings. Those in our midst that were present at the beginning, three members that have reached the age of the strong, and a handicapped daughter of 24 years old, for them it has become eternity. And now the question, what is thy only comfort in life and in death? A certain minister has said, with Lord's Day 52, that the Lord has shot 52 arrows at your heart. And what has it now done? Have there come up some troubled souls among young and old who have bowed their knees before they have come up to God's house and said, Lord, now by renewal we come to the end of the catechism, and we have heard such precious things, that comfort for the lambs and for the sheep. But, O Lord, excluded, unconverted, still without God, without Christ, and without hope in the world. But may it now please thee, the last Lord's Day, the last two questions, that thou may bless thy word, that I may become even a little lamb and receive a place in the sheepfold of the Good Shepherd. What is thy only comfort in life and death? How is it with us when our heart has only become harder, when we are becoming bold in sin? May you be given to bow and ask the Lord to break that hard heart. We have heard in this morning hour, there's a blessing when we are kept from great sins. But when we become the self-righteous Pharisee, then we have heard that more is necessary, that we need another righteousness. There's a blessing when under the proclamation of God's holy word, that there may be times that our heart becomes soft. Is that taking place under the preaching of the catechism, that you receive profound impression of that one thing needful and a holy jealousy to belong to that true people of God? But now concerning impressions, then I must ask you, Or was it only because of fear? Still a blessing. Can't keep us from many sins. And that it brings us in secret places. But has it now been accompanied with that love of God shed abroad in the heart? Convictions by itself, let me ask you, concerning convictions, does it bring you closer to the Word of God and more at His footstool? Are there a few souls that may believe that the explanation has been blessed to your soul, a hope that the Lord has begun His love shed abroad, a love for God, for His Word, attributes, His law, His house and institutions, for seeking souls? What a precious instruction, also examination. All the instructors so plainly and so clearly has laid out the way that the Lord holds with His people. And then in that examination, then there was much encouragement for those true seekers. And it is clearly declared in the scriptures that those seekers shall become finders. Or do you think, congregation, how we have heard it in this morning hour, that already the poor in spirit, the mourners, the meek, are those that are hungering and thirsting after righteousness, that they are a blessed people? But now the instructors, each time by renewal, then they have stressed, and it was their vehement desire to extol that precious mediator to the highest, and to that end, Church of God, how is it with that knowledge? Peter has written to the church in 2 Peter 1 verse 10 to give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Then we have heard of the three matters that must be known: misery, deliverance, and gratitude. Then also the catechism, according to God's word, given to speak of two ways, two peoples, and two destinations. And now we do well that in this evening, that we are honestly given to examine ourselves. How is it with our boys and girls? Have you now received a new heart that may love the Lord and hate sin? Young people, have you made that good choice of a Ruth? And the middle-aged, in the busyness of life, were there times that you came home from God's house and given to consider all your blessings and all your labors? But what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? Elderly ones, once more, You may hear the explanation of the Heidelberg Catechism. We know that young people can die, but old people, they must die. Then the time is short. And then the examination concerning also the doxology and the word Amen, then how necessary for us and our children to pray as the disciples have requested in Luke 11, Lord, teach us to pray. And now concerning the King's glory, the Lord has a people. Already when he begins, oh, they experience the sweetness and the blessedness of the service of that King. And then it is their vehement desire that the whole family circle, the whole congregation, may be given to serve and fear that great King and be saved by that King. And then it becomes their vehement desire. Oh, it is true. Only in beginning. And oftentimes smite themselves upon the breast. But the Lord has a people upon the earth that know of those exercises, that he may receive all the honor and the glory. The desire of the psalmist, as it is expressed in our Psalter from Psalm 72, now blessed be Jehovah God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous works and glory that excelleth. Amen. Let us close. Lord, when by the second time in the midst of this people, we may with thy help have tried to explain the Heidelberg Catechism, which thou wast given to thy church, then we need forgiveness also concerning the explanation. But, O Lord, may thou crown it to thy honor. May it have been used in this evening hour for the conversion of sinners. But remember also thy people. We may commence another week. Remember the consistory when they hope to meet tomorrow evening. Wilt thou keep us all under thy kind care and thy protection. May it please thee to grant in the midst of the family circles strength, health, happiness, contentment, and that we may be found more at thy footstool, and may we be given to bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Wilt thou keep us from sin and from all its ruinous power. Bring us now safely to our dwellings. Be the faithful keeper Israel in this night that slumbers and sleepeth not. And now may there be a few souls also during the night watches exercised with that one thing needful, with the coming of thy kingdom, the glory of thy name. Wilt thou pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 197, the stanzas 1 and 2. And now blessed be Jehovah God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous works and glory that excel. And what follows, Psalter 197, the stanzas 1 and 2. Receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. That's it.